This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am talking with Gatorade Player of the Year, Connecticut, Khalil Antoine. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
All right, excellent. You said that they misspelled it at the...
Yes, New Balance Nationals. It was actually spelled like Antoine, my last name, but in reality it's Antoine.
Where are you from?
From New Haven, Connecticut, you know, right here, right down the street, actually. And, yeah, I've been here my whole life. I've moved a couple times, but I've always stayed around the area.
Okay. All right. What kind of family do you have?
I got a long, big, extended family. I have family all over Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, some out the country, actually, and Nebraska, really.
You have influences like your mom and dad?
Yes.
What kind of ethics did your dad bring to the table?
My dad, he's a working man, you know. He always strives to work and then come home and provide for us. So, but on top of that, he also plays a sport as well. So it's like to be able to balance like his job life, which is full time, and then to go and play basketball on the side is really empowering to me.
So he's also an athlete?
Yes. Plays basketball, yeah.
Okay. And your mom, what kind of mom is
she? My mom, she is a nurse right now, so she's also full time. And, you know, she's one of my biggest supporters, and she was actually one of the kind of main reasons I joined track because she did it when she was younger as well with the same coach who coached me now. So that's kind of crazy if you really think about it.
The coach, Gary Moore.
Yes.
Been around forever. What kind of influence has he's been on your career?
Yeah. Again, one of my biggest fans and one of my biggest supporters. So during practice, he's always constantly on me, on top of my things and making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Not only on the track, but in the classroom as well, you know, always checking grades and asking you what's going on, if there's like a altercation with a teacher or even another student. So he's always making sure that everything's up to date.
How did you first get involved in track?
So my friend Travis, who I went to school with and I'm best friends with, so he had joined track his sophomore year, I want to say, and he had made it to nationals his first year for the 4x2 relay. And me being me, I'm a really competitive person. So I saw that. I'm like, that guy can go out there and run a 4x2 at nationals and become All-American. Maybe I can, you know, join track and, you know, see where that takes me. But he really kind of like recruited me to come out because I wasn't really doing any extracurriculars at the time except like theater at my school. So he got me to come out and, you know, I just tried out and then kind of just stuck with it.
What was your tryouts and what was going on in your mind when you first got out there?
Yeah, that was probably one of the roughest practices of my life. Yeah, so I made the mistake of showing up in a lot of clothes and a lot of layers. So I was sweating pretty hot in the field house, which is also pretty hot to begin with. And it was a bad mistake. And I think I had some like spicy food the night before. And it wasn't great. You know, I was sweating, but I just wanted to go out there and just give it my best. So that's what I really did. So, yeah.
Did you try it out? And what were your aspirations when you first tried out?
To just become noticed. Like, I knew if I were to go up to Coach Moore and introduce myself, he would know who my mom and my aunt was who ran track. So I kind of just wanted to at least get through the practice first before announcing myself as, you know, an Antoine. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure my presence was known off of my capabilities.
How do you balance academics and being, because, you know, you said like your father works and plays basketball, but now you're, you know, running and studying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, it's how am I balancing academics first, right? So it all starts in the classroom. My coach has made it a good point to, if you don't do good in the classroom, you can't even show up to practice. You can't show up to the meet on Saturday. You can't even be around the people who are giving their best and they're giving their all, and you're, you know, fooling around in the classroom, not getting good grades or, you know, doing hubbubaloo, you know. So I make it a solid effort to give my best in the classroom to be a student athlete. So I just make sure I get my stuff done, my work done, and so I can perform the best on the field.
How do you stay off the streets?
Really track. Like, track took up all my time, and I really had no, you know, incentive to be running around, doing all this nonsense when I can, you know, be on the field and be on the track with a bunch of people who are on either the same level as me or even higher, and be able to work with them and be able to get better at my craft and help them get better at their craft and just create a future for myself.
What goes on in your mind when you're doing these long practices?
What am I going to eat? You know, what am I going to eat after this? It's like, you got all these practices, you try to eat before, like at lunch or breakfast during the school day. Then you get to practice and it's like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have ate this, or maybe I should have ate. And then you got to make sure you're drinking water throughout the whole practice. And then, you know, sometimes it's just such a long practice, because I had hurdle practice after my main practice, like after practice with Coach Moore. I used to have a hurdle practice with Coach James, or even long jump or high jump practice with a few of my other coaches. So even having like practices on top of practices is like, man, I'm tired. I want to go home. What am I going to eat when I get home? How am I going to do my homework? Like, it's a balance of all that stuff.
You said that you have a cousin.
Yes.
Who's super loud, super funny. Yeah. What lesson do you take from that?
From my cousin Nicholas Lamore, who lives in Florida right now, I take to always be charismatic. You know, he's one of the funniest guys I know. And I feel like he doesn't even try. Like, it's just him. It's just his personality that's funny. So even his work ethic, he goes to work. He works full time now, I'm pretty sure. And he comes home and, you know, does his stuff on his laptop. Like, he likes to animate and stuff like that. So just to even take his work ethic with me, and just his charisma, yes. Just to take all that with me, and then even from all the way to Florida, you know, checks up on me, I check up on him. It's like, I'd like to take that.
What are your strong events?
My strong events. So my strong events are high jump, of course, and triple jump, really, because I actually won both of them at New Balance Nationals outdoor, and I eventually placed second in the United States, I'm pretty sure, for both events. So I would consider those to be my two strongest events.
When you first started, let's go back to when you first started track and field. Mm-hmm. What were the challenges that you faced immediately?
Yeah, when starting out anything, you're not going to be great. You know, it's just as long as you try, you know, you can hopefully get somewhere. But first starting, it was like, what, you know, how do I improve from here? It's like, you know, you're not really seeing much progress. You're running the same times, or you even find yourself comparing yourself to others, like on the team, and not even on the team, but like your competitors as well. It's like, oh, how are they jumping so high? How are they running so fast? And I've been at practice for like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I'm, you know, all the way back here. So it's also a mental thing. You know, how do you improve from how you started? But also, when you do improve, it's important to look back and to see where you started from.
Very good. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario here with Khalil.
Yes, sir.
Antoine. Mm-hmm. Gatorade, Player of the Year.
Yes.
National champ. Mm-hmm. The credentials keep going on and on. How do you stay focused?
Yeah, so me, I have like a list of goals that I want to achieve. And I did have a vision board at one point, but I haven't really updated it since like a few years back. But the mental aspect of it is, you know, is that's important too. You know, it's good to have a clear goal or something you want to achieve, to just keep your mind on track. So like when there are distractions or such other, you know, hurdles in the way. And it's just important that you can see where you want to be at, and so you're able to protect your mental.
Do you have a lot of discipline?
I try. Yeah, I try. Because I feel like if I do, then I can hold myself accountable when other people can't really do that for me. And it's especially that I should have it for myself, you know, become a collegiate athlete and going into the future and being someone who needs to take care of themselves and not going to have a coach on their back every second of the day, making sure you do this and that. So, yeah, it's very important to me that I can discipline myself.
Maintain. Diet.
Yes. Diet. You know, my friends would say it's not the best. I eat a lot of candy and drink soda, but I mean, I try to eat healthy. I do eat healthy. You know, I eat home-cooked meals and try not to eat fast food a lot, but I'm an athlete, you know? I'm a growing boy. I'm a growing man. So I got to get my calories, and I try. Even if it's fast food or food at home or food that I can get from, like, a, you know, like a family restaurant or something like that, you know, I try, but my diet is, I don't really have one. It's mostly I just eat what I see.
How has that been for your experience for you to get out of the city and to see all these different places?
Yeah, it's been pretty fun. Like, my first season I haven't been out even the state, but I was traveling around to, you know, different cities or different meets and stuff like that, which is also fun, you know, because it's like you get to see other facilities and different schools and things like that. But also, even when you do advance to a higher level, you get to go to Boston, which is for New England's, and then you can get to go to, I think, New York for Ocean Breeze, Elite Invitationals, and things like that. And the Nationals, of course, which is in Adidas, which I've been to, which is in North Carolina, New Balance, which is in Philly, and then also Nike, which is held in New York, and also Oregon, which I wasn't able to go to this year, but I've been to three of them, which is, you know, all down the East Coast, which is, you know, pretty fun to me.
Different atmosphere, right?
Yeah. So, because some of them are held at, you know, college and, like, big fields, big important fields. So it's like, to be able to go there and, you know, see the atmosphere of the different people that show up and just the different athletes that show up from all around the country really is pretty cool.
You have, when you go out there and you meet these other athletes, what's the interaction like when you, because now you're really mingling with the best of the best.
Uh-huh. So me, I'm not really a talkative person on the track. Like, I try to wait until maybe the competition's over. I mean, if I see you before we compete or, like, in the beginning of me, I might, you know, dap you up and say, you know, what events are you doing today or something like that, but I make an effort, like, in the competition, I'm not really, I want to say friendly, but, you know, I'm not talking to really anybody.
Track and field is really a single-person sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on a team, but it's really individual.
Yeah.
How do you compete with yourself?
Yeah, competing with myself, that's probably the hardest part. You know, my coach says track and field is a mental sport. It's not really a physical sport. Like, your body can do it, but is your brain going to be able to withstand the adversities of the competition or whatever? But, yeah, it's competing with yourself, you know, going out there and high jumping, you know, let's take that. So going out there and high jumping and maybe no hiding, you know, going out there and doing something that, you know, you can do. So, for say, I jump 7'2", 7 feet and 2 inches, so imagine me going out there and jumping 6'4". I'm gonna feel defeated with myself because I know that my abilities are far past that. So even that is like competing with yourself, really. Not really competing with the competitors, but also when I am competing with the competitors, I'm making them, you know, compete with themselves as well. Like, I'm skipping jumps, I'm passing heights to make sure that I'm preserving my body, and also I'm playing a mental game with the other competitors. So I'm making them take two jumps by themselves, and then I'll come in and clear on my first attempt. Then I'll pass the next two heights or pass the next height. Then they'll come out there, and they're like, dang, I got to go out there and jump these two because he's going to come over here and clear first time. So, you know, I'm playing mental games. I'm taking as least jumps as I can and just, yeah, doing all that.
How have you developed that killer instinct?
I'd probably say my friends, my coaches, like, even during practice, my teammates, you know, they're not really talking. It's like we compete against ourselves during practice. It's like they're going out here and they're going to get their all during practice. So I'm going to have to go out there and give them my all during practice. Or even during the meets, they're going out there to go for the win. So I'm going to have to go out there and go for the win as well.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, being intense during practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so practice, I make it an effort and I make it a point that I finish my reps during practice, or I just finish practice in general. I don't want to stop during a rep or stop during a set and it'd be like I'm hurt or something like that, or something's tweaking me, which is okay too. You know, it's okay to sit out and make sure your body's okay. But if I'm tired, I'm not going to stop just because I'm tired. Like, I'm getting through the workout. I'm making an effort to help my teammates and my fellows up to, come on, guys, we got to get this last rep in, or we got to make this time or something like that. But I, last season, just like the whole season, I just made it a point where it's like, I'm not going to really respect you if you're not finishing reps during practice. Because practice is to prepare for yourself for the meet. You know, if you're not finishing practice, how do you think you're going to go out there and compete against the top, you know, fastest guys in the state? You know, how do you expect yourself to perform on that level if you're not finishing 150s during practice?
You're taking on a leadership role within your team. Who was that? Who was there in front of you that helped you develop those skills and how to push your fellow classmates?
Yeah, I'd say my friend Travis. You know, he's also a very competitive person. So even during practice, he's talking junk to everybody. And he's making everybody know that, oh, I'm about to come out here and I'm about to smoke you during these reps. I'm about to go to this meet. I'm about to beat you. I'm about to smoke you. You know, you're not going to want to practice with me no more because I'm going to go out there and run 100% every time.
What kind of values you try to instill in the other underclassmen that are coming up under you?
Have discipline in yourself and hold yourself accountable, because the coaches are not always going to be there for you, and even your athletes and your teammates are not always going to be there for you. So it's important that you go into practice with a mindset that, oh, I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a great day during practice. I'm going to make sure that I improve at least 1% throughout the whole day. I improve 1% throughout whatever event I'm doing in.
What was your first win?
My first win? Let me think back. probably sophomore year, it was a freshmore meet. So it was a freshman-sophomore meet together, combined. So, and I was high jumping, and I was high jumping with my friend Jada. And she was there recording, and I was looking back at the video, at the film, to see what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. But I had went out there, and I think my PR previously was, I want to say 5'10". So I was jumping 5'10" during that season. And then at that meet, I jumped 5'10". Now, you know, I was pretty happy with myself, but I hadn't won yet. There was somebody else jumping 5'10", and he cleared it before me. So it was like, dang, now I got to clear 6 feet. But if he doesn't clear it, then I can win if I clear 6 feet. But there was a coach at the time. He was there, and he had encouraged me to skip 6 feet and go straight to 6'2". You know, so you PR on top of winning. So I was like, I mean, hey, we can go for it. So, you know, I just kind of went out there and just skipped 6 feet and cleared 6'2". I want to say my first attempt. And, yeah, it was a big accomplishment for me because it was my first season. And it was like, dang, I'm jumping 6'2". Like, I feel like that's pretty good for a sophomore. And, yeah, that was probably, I would say, my first win.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. We are speaking with Hillhouse track star, good Lord, Khalil Antoine, second generation runner. You had some setbacks in your life. Mm-hmm. You injured yourself at a young age, and how did that happen?
I did. So it was actually my junior season. So my junior year, early on in the season, indoor, you know, we only got a few meets, and honestly it was like a blink of an eye, you know, something you don't really expect to happen. So like a week before, I would say, I was feeling some pain in my hip area. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's just I need to stretch out during practice or drink some more water. So I've been doing that, and then a few days move forward, and it's like I'm laughing in class and things like that, and it kind of hurts to laugh, and I'm kind of, you know, hurts to take a deep breath in, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. You know, why does it feel like that? You know, I thought this would, you know, kind of drift away after a while. So then I think maybe a day after, 2 days after, I go to practice and I have long jump practice. And, you know, long jump practice and pain, they don't really go together. They don't really mix, like oil and water. So I went out there and I was going on the runway, doing some sprints down the runway and doing some jumps. And I was just feeling it. It was killing me. So I'm like, I'm gonna sit down for a second. And me, I like to fool around a lot. So I went over there, and my friend, my Travis, he was really antagonizing me. He would say he wasn't, but he really was. So I went over there, and I did a start real quick. He's like, yo, get on the line real quick. You know, let's run this up. So I get down to my block start, and they say set. Boop, I go, and then boom. I hear like a crack or a snap or something like that. I'm like, I fall immediately to the ground, and I'm just rolling around. People think I'm playing around because I do fool around and practice a lot. So I was laying on the ground, but I was laughing at first. I was smiling and laughing because I didn't really know what it was. So I was just on the ground rolling around, and, you know, people are seeing me laughing. So, you know, they're not really, you know, checking up on me. They're walking away. But my friend Josiah, he comes up to me, and then he's like, yo, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, just give me a second. I'll be up in a second. And then it's just like, I think it was the adrenaline, you know, I think it was the adrenaline that was keeping me smiling and laughing and things like that. But it all crashed, you know, it hit me. Now I'm laying on the ground. Hey, you can hold me up. And I'm hobbling. I can't walk. I can hardly walk. So I'm like hobbling. I'm jumping. I'm limping to the bleachers to just kind of like prop myself up against a wall because I can hardly stand up on my own. So I'm doing that, but my dad was already outside because I was working at the time. So I think I had a shift. So my dad was already outside to pick me up. So I kind of limped to the car. I was in tears, you know, because I'm thinking my season's over. I'm thinking I'll never run again. It's just all the emotions are flooding down. They're pulling up on the ground, the tears. So I'm hobbling to the car, and a few of my teammates, the mid-distance runners who had run on a run, they came back and they were like, they saw me. They were like, Khalil, are you okay? What's going on? And I just couldn't get words out of my mouth. I was in so much pain and just so much emotions was just, you know, happening at the same time. So I'm in the car with my dad and I'm saying I need to go to a hospital or something. So he ends up bringing me to a orthopedic clinic. So I'm sitting down and just waiting to, you know, go see a doctor or something like that. So they bring me to the back, in so much pain. I can hardly turn my neck. I'm looking, I'm just sitting down hurts. So I'm still, you know, all the emotions of my season's over, I'll never run again. It's just sticking with me. It's just all there. So while I'm waiting for a doctor, I go do some x-rays. So in the x-rays, in x-rays, you got to get into a position where they can, you know, actually see what's wrong. So I'm on the table and I'm in tears on the table because, you know, I'm got to shift my leg this way, shift my leg that way to make sure they can get a clear view of the bone. So after doing that for, I would say, like 5 minutes, head back to the room and it comes up as a fracture, like an avulsion fracture, which is when like your tendon, it rips a piece of the bone off. So they said, because I'm doing such explosive work during track, that just that going from a ground position to an upright position and, you know, moving your leg so fast is what really, you know, caused it to happen. They weren't really sure what before that happened. Maybe it's like tightness and what all led up to it. But so they came to the conclusion that it was an avulsion fracture. So I was put on crutches for, I would say, maybe a month. But I was in the bed for probably a week, just laying down, just, you know, dealing with the pain. You know, of course, they gave me some pain medicine to help it. But, you know, being in the bed for a week because you're hurt and hardly walk, that's, you know, nobody wants to go through that. So being there, it's just like, it's just you and your thoughts. You know, sure, you got the TV, sure, you got your phone, but don't really want to check your phone because, you know, you don't want people to feel pity for you, you know, show sympathy. So just laying down, kind of just letting the thoughts run wild and letting the emotions go, just letting everything go. And then finally going back to school on the crutches, you know, I got to get rides for my parents to go to school. And then just, you know, making around school, people asking you what's happened, Khalil, what's wrong? You know, like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to come back to do this? And aren't you a track star? You know, you can't run if your leg is hurt or something like that. So, you know, you got to hear the voices of a million other people on top of the million voices in your head. So, you know, taking the elevator at school, sitting in the back of class because you're crutches, and it's really a hard thing, you know? And then even coming back from it, you know, it's, you got people who are expecting you back and people who are waiting for you to come back. And it's, you just got to make sure you prioritize your health first. You know, you make sure, I had to sit out, I think, 2 months, I would say, before I can even do any sort of physical activity, before I can even walk and run. I, you know, I had to learn how to walk again with physical therapy. So even doing that, you know, it's just a lot. Mm. And then when you do come back, it's like, will I be as good as I was? Will I not be able to hit the same times, hit the same marks that I was before I was doing this?
This scare really reinforced that this is something you really want to do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, even when I'm doing rehab, it's like, all right, I'm here to get better. These people are here to help me get better. So I'm going to use all of this, and I'm going to bring it back for when I do come back. So when I do come back, I'm taking it slow. I'm not going out there and trying to PR again, you know, mm-hmm. PR first meet coming back, because I am a competitive person. I do strive to be the best. I do strive to do my best. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm weak in front of people that I know that, you know, I'm capable of doing something else. So, yeah, it was just like a weakness. And, you know, to go back and just jump in 5'8 again. You know, that's what I would jump in my first season. And to go over there and do something and start, it's like starting over. So I'm basically starting over and missing half the season, really. I came back, I think, a meet before states. So my coaches told me, go out there and just qualify for states, because I hadn't jumped yet. So they were like, just qualify for states and shut it down. We don't want anything out of you. We just want you to go out there, jump this one height, and go home. Really, just go home. So I did that, and then states comes around. I'm not jumping what I used to, but I'm getting back into the groove of things, and my body is healing, and I'm doing all this stuff to make sure that I'm good and make sure that I'm preventing a lot of things. So then I just, you know, making my way back into the swing of things, and then Ocean Breeze meets come up, and that's an elite invitational in New York. Mm-hmm. And I went out there, and I actually PR'd 6'8", and, you know, to be able to miss basically half, 3/4 of the season and go out there and PR at a New York meet with, you know, people from out the state. And it's like, dang, I can really come back from something like this and, you know, and show out, you know, show up and show out.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. We are speaking with Hill House track star, good Lord, Khalil Antoine. How was the transition to college and, you know, the college search? Were people going after you, mm-hmm. or did you have to really battle to get into position?
Yeah, so I would say in the beginning of your, not really the beginning, but your junior year is probably the year where you try to start reaching out to coaches and start reaching out to schools to see if you just really get on the radar. So I did that. I sent, you know, emails to numerous coaches, numerous schools, and hoping for responses back. So doing that, you know, is probably really important. And then I think senior year, just like the start of your senior year, is really, really like where you start to kind of like narrow down, but not really narrow down, but just, you know, get a grasp of where everybody's at, you know. But, you know, some people wait until the end of their senior year outdoor. Some people go ahead and just commit to the school that they know they want to go to, or just, you know, commit to their best option and things like that. But yeah, just make sure, you know, you just throw yourself out there. But in terms of people reaching out, I would say a couple people reached out, a couple schools reached out, but it's mostly a you thing. You know, you got to make sure that you got to be marketable, you know, have like, I want to say social media, but have like ways of contact, like even with coaches, and just making yourself known. So at like big meets, or even meets where, you know, coaches have connects, that, you know, go up to that person and be like, hey, I'm such and such, and I'm, you know, trying to get in here or something like that and all that jazz.
So you did the college tour thing. Mm-hmm. What were your choices and how was that decision-making process?
Yeah, so I had a couple choices. I had some schools down in Kansas that I went to go visit and then some schools down south as well. And I got to visit a couple, and I was very pleased with, like, the college searches, things like that. Because, like, you know, you get to get flown out to the school and, you know, see how everybody, you know, like, people you don't know. Like, you know, see how they operate and see how these schools do this and these schools do that and what's different between, you know, the schools and things. So, yeah, just, like, kind of, like, touring and being, like, the main priority and all that is kind of fun.
What do you finally decide on?
I finally decided on College of the Holy Cross, which is in Massachusetts, and I've committed there.
Are they going to provide you with some monies? Or?
Yes, yes. I'm getting a huge scholarship, which I'm thankful of, and I just plan on going out there and, you know, showing them why they recruited me and showing everybody else why I chose them, and then just drop some big times and drop some big jumps over there and, you know, show everybody that I can do this. I can do this on a collegiate level.
You won the New Balance Nationals mm-hmm. recently. How was that experience? Were you nervous? And how do you get over that hurdle of nervousness and butterflies?
Mm-hmm. So going into New Balance, I think high jump, I was jumping 7 feet that season. And then triple jumping, I was jumping 49, I would say, before going into that meet. So I was already ranked pretty high on both events. So I actually PR'd in both events at Nationals, and being there, being at big meets and big competitions, I feel like it fires me up more. Like I compete to the best of my ability because I know that there's people here from California that is gonna, they flew all the way here and they're gonna give it their all. You know, they're not gonna come here and jump something like 6 feet or 5'10", they're coming here for a national competition at a championship level, and they're coming here to do their best. So I need to come here, and I need to give it my all and do my best. So high jump, I PR'd, and I jumped 7 feet and 2 inches, and I think 7 feet, 2 inches and a quarter is what I eventually ended on, and it is a new state record. So that was, it's pretty great for me, but I knew high jump was my bread and butter, and I knew I would go out there and PR because I actually PR'd in practice, I think, a couple days before that. So I was feeling good. I was feeling good about myself. And that was my second day there. My first day there, I triple jumped. And I went out there and triple jumped 50 feet my first attempt. And that was big for me because I was trying to reach 50 feet all season. So going out there, I was like, dang, I could jump 50 feet my first jump. And I'm not even really, like, warmed up and acclimated to the competition. I could do that. What am I going to do with my rest 5 jumps after that? So I took another jump, and I think I jumped 48 or 49 or something like that. So I decided to shut down until finals to kind of save my legs, and then I took one jump in finals, and I jumped 51 feet, 6 inches, or 6.5 inches, something like that, which is pretty big. You know, that's a U.S. number 2 mark for both events. So, yeah, it was a pretty good experience, you know, being there, being with the competition and competing with all those guys from outside of the state and outside of, you know, really my comfort competition, because I compete in CT and I know everybody here and I know what I can do against these cats. So to be able to go to a national meet and win both events, and it's just great. And then I also, they sent me an award because I got Field Athlete of the Meet for Nationals. So out of over 6,000 people, I was chosen to be the field athlete of the meet. So they sent me a nice little trophy, some headphones, and just like a little note card saying, you know, thanks for being there, and we chose you because of this.
Kind of like an MVP, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you stay so humble and, you know, not rest on your laurels, because you're doing like personal best.
Yeah.
And then you're still going out there and mm-hmm. being aggressive.
Yeah. So just staying humble is like, you know, my friends, you know, they they don't really like to gas me up so much because they know that, you know, they know that I'm great and I know that I'm great. But also, you know, they make it known that there are people better than you out there. You know, U.S. number 2 is not U.S. number 1. So there's somebody in front of me who's doing what I can do. And I practice you know, working hard or even harder as me. So, you know, they make it known that there's always room for improvement. And I'm going to a collegiate level and there's going to be tons of people and it's not going to be the same as high school. And I'm going to have to go out there and just give them my all in anything I do.
Speaking about college, what are your goals in college?
I plan on breaking records. I plan on going there, breaking high jump records, breaking New England records, and setting school records, facility records, all that stuff.
Well, so what? Give me an example of a high jump record or a goal.
Right. So I plan on jumping at least 7'3" and 7'3¼" because 7'3¼" is actually Olympic trials. So I'm an inch off, right? So my goal is to go out there and at least my first season in, you know, a collegiate level as a collegiate athlete to go out there and qualify for the Olympic trials.
That's
yeah, I said it so nonchalant, you know, you wouldn't know, but yeah.
Yeah, you're so calm.
Yeah.
So, how do you deal with the pressure, man? I mean, you're like ice.
I don't know. It's like after doing track for 3 years and I think, numerous seasons, it's like, I want to say you get used to it, but you kind of feel the weight of the pressure and, you know, you get a taste of the heat. So it's like, once you get acclimated to all that stuff, it's like, it's up to you now to, you know, be calm, cool, and collected. Because you don't want to, you know, use all that energy on something that is not really important.
For the audience that's out there, he's saying all this with this smirk on his face, this little smile. And like, it's no big deal.
Nah, I mean, it's a big deal. I'm just excited. You know, I'm excited. But, you know, you got to rein it back in, you know, to exert that energy when it's most needed at a competition, like, you know, something like that.
What are you looking forward to in the college dorm room? You want to be by yourself now. No mom, no dad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly a discipline thing, you know, being able to get yourself up for classes and even wake yourself up for morning practices. Sure, I'm going to have a roommate, but, you know, it's up to me because it's really living by yourself. So, you know, to take care of myself, you know, eat good and make it to practice, make it to my classes. It's, yeah, I'm excited for that next level and that, you know, next step in my journey. So, yeah.
What would be your advice to a young man or woman out there that's, you know, considering going into track and field?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of work. I would say track and field is the punishment for every other sport. You know, you do bad in the classroom in, let's say, football, or you drop a pass in football. What are they doing? They're running down the field. Basketball, what are you doing in the court? Running suicides, you know, you're running laps, whatever it is. Track and field is the punishment for everybody else. So just be ready and prepared to put your body through something that's never been put through before. Be prepared to have to use just like your brain, you know, even though you use your brain during school and things like that, I feel like you use like something else in your brain when you run a track. It's like, you got that inner voice. Don't stop running. Oh, what if I stop right now? Oh, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Oh, he's running so fast. How is he running so fast? Why am I running so slow? It's, you know, it's a mental thing, you know, work on yourself, work with others, surround yourself with people that you want to grow with and people that are, I would say, on a higher level with you, so that you can improve.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
I wish you so much success in your future. I can see, you know, when my next interview with you will be after the Olympic...
Olympic trials, yes. 2028, that is the plan.
There you go. Great. Thank you very much for sharing your goals and your passion. Mm-hmm. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and we have just spoken with national champ, number two in the country for high jump, triple jump, Gatorade Player of the Year, Connecticut, Khalil Antoine.
Yes.
Congratulations, and I wish you much success.
Thank you.
And like always, thank you for your listen.